1 Samuel chapter 12. We've been looking at prayer on Wednesday nights and talking with the Lord, and I wanted to give you this special Bible study. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm just going to show you this. You can read the chapter a little bit later, but look at verse number 23. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." What a Bible verse. God says it's a sin. Now, you say, well, that's for a pastor. And I realize that. A pastor's supposed to pray for his people. But I like applying that as a Christian. God forbid that I should sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. In ceasing to pray for you. I hope you can look at it. Tonight I want to give you a Bible study on praying for one another. Praying for one another. And this starts it off here. God says, is the only person you ever lift up in prayer yourself? God says, I've always been taught, one of the greatest expressions of love is this: I prayed for you. I took time to go to the throne of grace for you, and I mentioned your name in prayer to the Lord. And when somebody says, not flippantly, but I prayed for you today, it's one of the deepest expressions of love that a Christian can give to the other. I prayed for you. And I also think it's supposed to be one of the most encouraging things that we can tell each other. I lifted you up to the Lord this morning in prayer. If you look at that verse, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Now, I'll give you a review here while you turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Luke 11, we learned, you're going in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. We learned that Luke 11 is midnight praying for others and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We learned in Luke 18 last week that daytime praying is for our needs, as the widow prayed, you know, avenge me of my adversary. You're going to Colossians chapter 1. Here, let me give you just a little precursor here tonight. God says, I'm going to read some other verses. You just stay in Colossians chapter 1 here. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 6:18 says this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. What a statement. For all saints, the Christians that you know, the children of God that you know. Colossians 1:3 says, well, if you're there in chapter 1, look at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Praying always for you. If anybody ever gets a hold of the Christian life, and not that anybody here doesn't, but if you ever take the task of everything, just walking with God, reading your Bible, and praying, and then if you took it as a task to pray for other people, I'm convinced the most important thing we do is pray. You say it's soul winning, but do you know how many more people get saved when you pray for souls to be saved so God can work? Yes, I'm for soul winning. The longer I live the Christian life, the more I'm starting to see the most important thing we do is lift each other up in prayer to God. Dear Lord, watch over them. Lord, protect them today. I remember last week I was coming from the hospital, and all of a sudden when I was going through Leonardtown, I just started weeping. And I said, Lord, please protect my wife, and Lord, please watch over her. And I just felt the need to pray. It's like God says, I work when you pray. And I need you to pray right now. And I don't normally do that. I don't cry when I'm going down the road and stuff. But the tears just started flowing down my face. And I said, dear Lord, please help my wife, and Lord, just watch over her and protect her. And when I got home, my wife said that right up here at the Wawa was a horrible wreck. And she says it happened right in front of her, and she saw it. Now, I didn't go back and time it, but it literally was in 5 minutes, and it just gave me goose pimples. And I'm not a goose pimply type person. Okay? But that was the Lord. That was the Lord saying, I need somebody to pray so that I can work. Do you understand? And this thing of praying for each other and praying for all saints, it's a big job. You're there in Colossians chapter 1. Watch this. Look at verse number 9. And I'll just show you this. This is one of the famous prayers of the Apostle Paul, our example. Watch this. Look at how he prays for these Christians. Watch. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now he's going to show you what he's praying. Here's what he prays without ceasing. And to desire what? That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. We're supposed to pray that for each other. Lord, please show them, and you lift up that person, show them your will for their life. Help them, give them a knowledge of what you saved them to do. I'm paraphrasing that right now. He says, we don't cease to pray for you what? First of all, that you'll know why God saved you. Lord, you saved them for a purpose. Lord, please help them and understand that. Look at the next prayer request. Watch this, Colossians 1:9. Of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's the prayer. Lord, help them to spiritually see what you're doing in their life. Give them spiritual understanding. What a prayer request. I love looking at the Apostle Paul's prayers, and he says, God says the Apostle Paul is the pattern. So take how he prayed for Christians, and then that's how we're supposed to pray for each other. Beautiful prayer. Watch this. Look at verse 10. It says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Walk worthy of the Lord. So as you pray for each other, you could pray, Lord, help them today. The devil's coming against them. Help them to stand. Lord, help them to say no to temptation. Help them to walk worthy of you. Lord, help them to be pleasing in your sight. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. I'm just showing you, when you say pray for each other, or pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, or pray for your church members, pray for those that are, of us that are covenant together, what do we pray? Use Colossians 1 as a model prayer. I'll show you another model prayer here in just a second, but most of us don't talk this way. You understand? So if we say, why don't you pray for you over here tomorrow? We would generally, if you didn't have the Bible as your example, you'd say, Lord, be with them and help them. And you'd run out of stuff to say, right? And bless them and help their hair not to fall out. And Lord, watch. You'd run out of stuff. What I'm trying to show you is this is a beautiful pattern. If you'll take this prayer list and then pray for each other this way. Watch this. Look at verse 10. We looked at that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Watch this. Here's the next prayer request. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Two things there. Lord, help them as they serve. Lord, help them as they go soul winning. Help them to be fruitful or to bear fruit in their work. Help them to see results. You know what toil is? Toil is when you labor and labor and labor and labor and labor and you don't see any results. Lord, help them to be fruitful in their work. Help them to see results. Lord, help the Sunday school teachers. Lord, help them as they teach to see changed lives. Lord, help them as they invest their lives in other people. This is a prayer request. Watch this. That you might be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, teach them of you. Help them to grow in their knowledge of you. Look at verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Well, these wonderful prayer requests, I can rephrase them for you. But when God says, pray for each other, this is how we're supposed to be praying. Look at verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which He hath made us, meet or fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So, Lord, help them to give you thanks. Help them to have patience and joy. Lord, help them to be thankful that you delivered them. That's one prayer in your Bible. You can go back to it later, and when you pray for each other, you can turn to your Bible outline, Colossians 1. Oh, I don't know what to say. Okay, God says, pray for them this way. Now go to the next prayer. Watch this. Look at Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. You'll go back a couple of books there. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. There are two prayers in Ephesians, model prayers, on how we pray for each other. One is in Ephesians 1, the other is in Ephesians chapter 3. The other one is, but right now, this is we're just going to take a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter, I'll tell you what, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll let you look at the prayer there. It starts in verse 15 and goes through 19 in chapter 1. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse number 14. Watch this. For this cause, Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What? What's he praying? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying for spiritual strength. Lord, help them not to be spiritually immature. Give them spiritual strength today. What a prayer. Strengthened with might in the inner man. And this is how you pray for each other. Look at verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Stop. He's not praying that they get saved. They're already saved. Right? This is a prayer. Lord, I pray for my brother that Christ would dwell in his heart by faith. What's he praying? He's praying, Lord, help him to realize you're with him all day long. Christ is in his heart. Now help him as he works, as he's a husband, as he's a daddy, as he works at the job. Help Christ to dwell in his heart. He's not praying for salvation. He's praying, Lord, help him. Because if you think Christ is with you all day long and you realize his presence, you think differently and you make different decisions. Right? I mean, if he's right there, what's one of the things with sin? We forget. We forget he saw it all. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may recognize his presence. Lord, did you realize, I love this thought, you don't have to do anything by yourself tomorrow. Now you can if you want to, but he's there. He's there. Look at the next thing. I love this section of Scripture. This is just beautiful. Watch this, verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what that one prayer is? Lord, help them to know how much you love them. It's a little bit of what I preached on Sunday. Not that anybody got anything out of the message, but with all the action that was going on. I know I don't remember anything I preached. But I preached on the love of Christ. It's online. And how much God loves you. The love of Christ is unexplainable. And the more you focus on the fact that he loves me, that end of that verse says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a verse. Lord, help them today to know that you love them beyond words. This is how we pray for each other. You say, well, in other words, use your Bible as an example and let God give you the prayer list on how he likes to work in each of our lives. Okay? How do you pray for each other? Now, as you do that, would you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Ready? And this is the second half of this Bible study. I'm going to take a path now. How do you pray? It's one thing when I pray for a Brother Wilkins, who's faithful to church, who comes to church. But when I pray for him differently, amen, than I pray for someone who is backslidden or for someone who used to go to church but doesn't go anymore. Do you understand? Or someone who's struggling spiritually. I'm going to pray differently for this person. You say, what are you talking about? Look at how the Bible phrases it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Watch this. Look at verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Watch this, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I use that as somebody who is struggling with sin or someone who seems to be their own worst enemy. They oppose themselves. You ever heard that? Your own worst enemy is you? Okay? Well, here, themself, their self actually gets in the way and they can't go forward spiritually. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I've heard two interpretations of this. I heard one preacher preach that this is talking about lost people. I personally don't think so. I think a Christian can get living in the flesh where they oppose themselves, and then the last verse kicks in. Watch this. Look at, let's read verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and, ready, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You say, well, that's a lost person. If a child of God chooses to live in the flesh and do everything he wants and gets out of God's protection, then whose reign does he come under? Satan's. And Satan says, that Christian right there, I can do anything I want with him. Because they don't care about the things of God. Do you understand? They don't. It's not that they're not demon possessed or anything, but Satan says, I can take them captive at any time. They don't watch who they run with. They don't watch where they go. They don't watch what they say. They live in the flesh. I can take them, boink, boink. I can take them anytime I want. They're taken captive by him at his will, at Satan's will. I think this. If you want to apply this to lost people, I don't think you're violating Scripture. I just, when I read this, I see Christians that are struggling and opposing themselves and living in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. Does that make sense? Now, there's all different types of degree of that. All different types of degrees. Okay? Now, I'm going to use that here as a... Some have asked this question. How do I handle myself around someone who used to go to my church but now doesn't like my church? How do I handle myself around someone who used to go to my church but now doesn't like my church? I'm going to give you a couple of points. Number one, I think we should always want to restore people who want to do right. A Christian has to live that way. Do you understand? We have to always... Look, you're only going to meet two people out soul winning. You're either going to meet... Three. You're either going to meet somebody that's saved and glad they're going to the church they're going to, or you're going to meet somebody that's lost and needs to get saved, or you're going to meet somebody that's saved and used to go to church and doesn't anymore. Right? You're only going to meet three types of people when you're out soul winning. Well, how do you only have a response then? When you find out that they're already saved, do you go, oh, you can't do that. What do you do when you find somebody that says, I used to go to church. I got out of church and something happened and I got upset and now it's the biggest mistake I made. Can you help them? Can you be an encouragement to them? I think a Christian should always be ready to answer those that ask them a hope that lies within them, the reason of the hope that lies within them. I think a Christian, I know this for a fact, should always want to restore people who want to do right. In other words, like we read in 2 Timothy, if God gives them repentance, we should pray that the Lord restores them. Right now, there's not too many Christians in America at all. We're being overrun with a tidal wave of paganism. Do you understand? We don't have Christians to spare. Amen? We don't need, in other words, yeah, there may be Christians that do things that in the flesh or do wrong, but we don't need any Christians falling by the wayside. We should want and have a spirit of restoring. Watch this. You're there. Do you see verse 25? Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Are you ready? If God peradventure will give them repentance. This means it's the Lord who restores them. God wants to work through you and work through me. But watch this. It's the Lord who restores them. And when somebody wants to argue, and when somebody wants to, you understand, be contentious, then God hasn't given that. In other words, you're not going to give them repentance. That's God's job. You understand? I can't convict anybody. So I'm on the watch out for who God gives repentance to. I don't care if it's a saved person that's not living right or if it's a lost person that needs to get saved. If they want to argue, then God isn't dealing with them right then. Right? Where do Eve get her belly button? Where'd Cain get his wife? They want to ask you all these stupid questions. They're not ready. You understand? They're out to argue. And it's up to you to sense that. It's up to you to say, you know what? Here's our track, and when you need anything, please let us know. And that's our phone number, and God bless you, and have a good day. It's not your job to sit there and argue. It's not your job. Watch this. Listen closely. You cannot restore anybody. God does that. God does that work in their heart. That is a spiritual work. Sheep should never try to reclaim sheep. That's how other sheep get lost. Do you understand? You go through something like we went through, somebody will say, well, I need to go after so-and-so. That's the shepherd's job. Would you please think about what I'm telling you? That's the shepherd's job. If sheep go after sheep, I just need to go after... If they God gives them repentance and restores them, trust me, God will do a work in the heart. But you're not going to talk this one into it. When I talk, what's it say in Psalms? When I am for peace, they are for war. And you can't change that. That's a work God does in their heart. Now, I really am going somewhere with this. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'll say it again. Number one, we should always want to restore people who want to do right. Always. Always. Number two, did you know that no one can join our church without meeting with me first, the pastor? Think about this just for a second. I think you want it this way as a church member. If somebody came to our church, now I know Jeff, he's just visiting here tonight, but Jeff, let me use you for an example. Let's say Jeff, you know, he's leaving, going back to Japan here in a little bit. But let's say he came to our church, this is his first night here, and he sings with us and prays with us. If he came forward on a Wednesday night, and let's say he was staying in the area, he said, I'd like to join your church. I would say, let me talk with you. We need to meet. I just met him. I know he has a desire to do right because he's in church on a Wednesday night. Amen? And I could tell he enjoys being here. But I don't know him. I think as a church member, most people don't do that anyways. Most people come to church a couple of times, right? And then they join. You understand? If they feel that's where God wants them. But if somebody comes to church for the first time and they come down, oh, I want to join this church, I would say, I'm glad you're here. Have you been saved? Have you been baptized? Good. Meet with me afterwards. Nobody joins our church unless It's not all about me, but I need to know them. Do you understand? I need to know them. I need to get to know them. And I want to know that they want to be here. You understand? I think you say, well, I don't think they have to go before the whole church. I think the pastor needs to know what's going on. And the pastor needs to know them. Okay? You say, why would you say that? I will help anybody, but they need to meet with me so I can encourage them first. Do you understand? If somebody that left said they want to come back or whatever, I would say, let me meet with you. So I can do what? Encourage you. And I need to find out. If they aren't willing to meet with me, then they aren't ready to be restored yet. Do you understand? Well, I'm not meeting with that preacher. Then careful. Then it's not time. I think every Christian should be in church. You understand? Every Christian should. But I said on Sunday night, I don't think... Can I make a strong statement? And I've heard this my whole life. You say, give me a Bible verse to back it up. I can't. It's an old philosophy, and it goes like this. You can't be right with God and wrong with your pastor if your pastor hasn't done anything. Do you understand? If your pastor has not hurt anything, you cannot, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I hate His guts. You can't do that. The pastor is God's gift to you for your spiritual growth. Do you understand? Ephesians chapter 4. For the work of the ministry. So the reason I'm telling you that. Number 3. Everybody should be kind to everyone. Doesn't it say that in Hebrews chapter 12? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we're supposed to follow holiness and peace with all men. I'm supposed to be nice to everybody, to all people. If I see somebody on the side of the road that has a flat tire, especially they are who are the household of faith. Let us do good unto all men, especially those that are saved. That means if I got two bananas and one, and there's three people in front of me and they're all starving to death, I'm supposed to see if any of them are saved and they get the banana first. Right? Isn't that what it says in Galatians? Do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Let me say it again. Everyone is supposed to be kind to everyone. Everyone. Number 4. If someone is evil and trying to hurt us as a church, we don't attack them, we just avoid them. There's nobody I want to attack. There's nobody I want to, I'll get them back. That is not in my heart at all. But if somebody is being evil, what's sin? Sin is when you break the laws of God and you hurt yourself spiritually. What is evil? Evil is when you try to get somebody else to sin. That's evil. When you try to lead somebody. Okay, it's sin for you to cuss. It's evil if you lead somebody else to cuss. Oh, go ahead and say it. That's evil. Do you understand? Evil is when you try to get others to do it. Now, listen closely to my statement. If someone is evil and trying to hurt us, we don't attack. We just avoid them. I'm going to show you 3 verses. Ready? Watch this. Go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse number 17, it's the last chapter in Romans there, right before 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 16, we're just going to look at 2 more verses here and then I'm going to wrap it up, okay? Romans 16, look at verse number 17, watch this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. Baptists don't do inquisitions. Catholics do. You know what the Inquisition was? You're accused, and then as they questioned you, you only had one thing. You could, unless you were going to speak guilt, you couldn't talk. unless you were going to admit you were guilty of what you were being charged. It wasn't like a modern day court. Then they did what? I don't care whether it was a witch trial or whether it was a heretic or those stinking rebaptizers. Didn't matter. Baptists don't go after people and Baptists don't attack anybody. If you don't hold to what we believe, or if you choose to go, we let you go. Amen? We don't hunt you down and show up at 3 a.m. with a chainsaw in your front yard. Okay? We don't do that. We don't attack people. We don't do that. Here God says, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Take your Bible and let's look at 2 Thessalonians, 2 verses in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Ready? Look at verse number 6. Now we command you, these are strong verses, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. I'm not supposed to attack anybody. I'm supposed to avoid. I'm supposed to withdraw myself if a brother... A neighbor's a lost person. A brother is somebody who's saved. If somebody is saved, if a brother walks disorderly or not according to the Word of God, then God says, I withdraw myself. I pull back. Look at your verse 6. Can I show you verse 14? Ready? Watch this. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. That's all we do. In the Christian life, if somebody is not doing right, okay? If they're causing division, if they're causing strife, you don't walk up to them and go, boink. You don't smack them. You withdraw. Why? So that they can be ashamed. That's what Christians do. Do you understand? That's how we respond to people that oppose themselves or people that are being evil or trying to hurt us. Do you understand? That's what we do. Now, why would I share that with you? I am not supposed to, and I don't think anybody in this room, no one, is supposed to attack anybody no matter how much they attack me. I don't think I'm supposed to attack anybody. Be nice. I would just tell you this. I would be careful who you spend time with and who your best friends are. You can only handle so much, and watch this, so can I. I would, but you're to be nice to everybody. And I mean honey dripping love nice. You just got it oozing all over the ground and just sweet ooey gooey. You're supposed to be nice to everybody. But I would be very careful who you spend time with, who you allow in your inner life to be your best friend, because who you do that to, they will affect you. Well, I just love everybody. Really? You don't put any guards up. You don't have anybody who you allow to get super close. Be careful. Be careful. Now I'm going to make you, just listen closely, and we're almost done. If you feel you are too weak to correct a bad conversation, then you need to learn the art of avoiding them and just not being available. When I got saved, the Marines used to ask me, hey, he's going to come and party with us, and it was every Friday night and every Saturday night. And when I got saved, my biggest fear was somebody asking me, hey, you going with us, right? And I knew I was weak. I didn't have the strength to say no. So you know what I would do? When we would get off duty, I would go hide so nobody could find me and ask me if I wanted to go out with them. I remember sitting under the staircase and I got under this box and I heard them, oh, we're going to party tonight, da da da. And they're all going up the stairs on the gangplank. And I remember sitting there with tears running down my face saying, Lord, don't let them find me. I was hiding from my old crowd because I didn't have the strength to say no. Now, God brought me to the point where I could eventually, all I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to use my testimony and say this. If you feel you would like to spend some time with somebody, I hope that you have the strength to correct a conversation if it goes south. And if you can't say, I can't talk about that. If you're not that strong as a Christian, then you need to learn the art of hiding. You understand? That's why they have caller IDs on phones. Okay? That's why you take the message and then you listen to it. You understand what I'm saying? If you cannot correct a conversation and say, I can't talk about that. Can we talk about something different? I need to, if you can't do that, then I think plan B is, okay, do what I did as a young Christian. Go run and hide. And then you do what? Pray. And that way I can be kind. I'm not attacking anybody. But I'm just trying to stay out of sticky situations. Do you understand? And sticky conversations that where when I'm done, I'll feel dirty. Okay? All right? I said that. Praying for each other is very important. We are to restore people who want to do right. We are to be kind to everybody. And if someone is evil and trying to hurt our church, we don't attack them, ever. We just scripturally avoid them. We avoid them. And that is how you can take in the bounds of what I've given you, and I hope this helps you as a child of God. But we should, look, you say, why would you go from praying for each other to how to treat people that I used to go to church with, but now they don't like our church? You pray for them. I've examined my heart through all of this. There's nobody that there's nobody. You better be careful. There's nobody that I hate. Nobody. I have looked at that, and you know how I keep from that? I can go to the Lord and I can pray for every person. You can't hate somebody and pray for them at the same time. You can't ask God's blessing on someone. Lord, please be with them today. Lord, please help them. Didn't Jesus say, pray for those that hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you? You can't control what other people do. You can control what you do. And one of the best ways to keep the hatred and the things down is pray for people. Amen? Pray for them. Praying for each other. And then I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.